Hi, welcome back to Joe Blogs. This video is the next in a series looking at the financial implications of Russia's invasion of Ukraine on the global economy. And in today's episode, I want to ask the question as to whether or not Russia is in a weaker position today than it was this time 12 months ago before it started the invasion. So we'll have a look at what's been going on with regards to oil, which is the biggest single contributor to the Russian economy. What's happened to natural gas exports, because that's the second biggest contributor? We'll have a look at what's been going on with regards to technology, because technology is absolutely critical to the development of every economy in the world. We'll talk about what's happening with business relationships, because as you'll know if you follow the channel, the whole world is interconnected. So we rely upon businesses having connections all across the globe. And then we'll have a look at what's been going on with the Russian workforce, the people of Russia. What's their reaction been to the Russian invasion of Ukraine? And then finally today, I'll wrap up with my summary. So what I think the implications of the war have been on the Russian economy and what the implications are for the longer term prospects for Russia and the global economy. So before we get started on all of that, if I could ask you for a thumbs up at some point during this video, if you're enjoying the content, please subscribe if you haven't done so already. Don't forget, I always include chapters. And if you'd like to support the channel, please have a look below where you'll find links to YouTube Super Thanks and membership, as well as Buy Me a Coffee, Patreon and Amazon shopping links. And as always, I'd like to say thank you so much to everybody that has supported the channel. I really appreciate it. Russia is the world's second largest exporter of crude oil, and in 2021, it provided around 8.3% of the total global supplies. If you're interested, the largest supplier is Saudi Arabia, that provided around 16.5%. The third largest supplier is Canada with around 7.5%, followed by Iraq with 7.3%, the UAE 7.1%, the USA 4.2%, Norway 4.1%, Kuwait 3.7%, Nigeria 3.1%, and Brazil comes in at number 10 with around 2.8%. So Russia's important in terms of global oil supplies, but the sale of oil products is very important to the Russian economy. And in 2021, Russia made around $110 billion from selling oil products. So the ongoing success of the oil industry is absolutely critical to the Russian economy. And this chart shows the top 10 destinations for Russian crude oil exports in 2021. So this was before the invasion of Ukraine, before any sanctions were applied against Russia. So you can see that the single biggest export market was China, where Russia sold around $35.3 billion worth of oil. The second largest was the Netherlands with $17.3 billion, followed by Germany with $9.3 billion, Belarus at $6.7 billion, South Korea $6.4 billion, Poland $5.4 billion, Italy $4.2 billion, the USA $3.7 billion, Finland $3 billion and Slovakia $2.5 billion. Now, the interesting thing about this chart is that following Russia's invasion of Ukraine, the vast majority of countries in Europe and the West came out and stated that they no longer wanted to buy any Russian oil. And a full ban was introduced by the European Union on the 5th of December 2022. So of the countries on this list, that ban applies to the Netherlands, Germany, Poland, Italy, Finland and Slovakia. And in addition to that, immediately following the invasion, the USA came out and stated that it no longer wanted to buy any Russian oil. So the loss of sales to those countries alone equates to $51 billion, which is almost 50% of the total sales that Russia achieved in 2021. But obviously there are a lot more countries not shown on this top 10 list, including the UK, Canada, Australia, and all of the other countries in Europe. So it's estimated that of the sales that Russia achieved in 2021, around 70% of all of those sales have now been lost as a direct result of the invasion of Ukraine. So the loss of all of those markets has proved very problematic from Russia's perspective, and they've had to find new markets to sell into. And the biggest buyer that's come forward during 2022 is India. This chart shows the volume of Russian oil exports per day to China and India during 2022. So you can see that the sales to China started the year at around 900,000 barrels per day. There was an initial fall in those levels following Russia's invasion of Ukraine. However, the volume soon increased above a million barrels per day and has remained relatively stable since around May. Now, the situation for India is entirely different. In January 2022, India was buying very little oil from Russia. However, as Russia faced more and more sanctions and needed to find new markets, it started offering large discounts to buyers, and India took advantage of those discounts and went from buying virtually no oil to around 900,000 barrels per day. So Russia has managed to offset some of the lost sales to Europe by increasing its sales to India. But let's have a look at what's been going on with regards to the price of oil. This chart shows the movement in Brent crude oil prices over the course of 2022. So you can see that at the start of the year, oil was trading for around $80 per barrel. However, immediately following Russia's invasion of Ukraine, those prices jumped to above $120 and then dropped back down to around $100 per barrel through to the middle of the summer period. However, the global slowdown that's been experienced since that time has driven prices down as we've seen a global drop in demand for oil. And prices today are trading at around $85 per barrel. So 2022 represents a real bonanza for oil producers because the prices that have been experienced are significantly higher than have been seen anywhere in the world over the last 5 years. Now this chart shows the price of Russian oil over the course of 2022. So at the start of the year, Russian oil was selling for around $77 per barrel. So very close to Brent crude prices, which were coming in around $80. However, the shape of this chart is very different to what we just saw for Brent crude. Immediately following the invasion, the price of Russian oil also spiked at around $110, so it was similar up until that point. However, between the middle of March and the middle of June, the price of Russian oil fell significantly due to the fact that Russia was having to offer large discounts in the international markets to persuade buyers to take their oil. And as global demand for oil fell in the second half of 2022, those discounts remained in place. And the price of a barrel of Russian oil today is trading at around $55, compared to around $85 for Brent crude. So what this analysis shows is that the direct result of Russia's invasion of Ukraine is that the price of Russian oil has fallen significantly and is trading at a discount of around 30% against the global markets. So that means that in order to maintain its revenue at historic levels, Russia would need to sell around 30% more oil in today's markets. Now, Russia is the world's largest exporter of natural gas in its original form. So that means in a gaseous form. And the reason for that is that Russia installed pipelines all across Europe over the course of the last 20 years and has been supplying natural gas directly to a variety of countries. And those countries use that natural gas to produce electricity and also to provide it to their consumers for heating and cooking. Now, as a direct result of Russia's invasion of Ukraine, the EU came out and stated that it no longer wanted to buy that gas. But there has been a transition period because it's very difficult to be able to replace it overnight, as most countries will need to set up liquefied natural gas regasification facilities in order to convert LNG, which is imported from countries such as Qatar and the USA, back into natural gas and feed it into their networks. Now, in terms of the importance of the gas sales, in 2021, Russia's exports of gas produced revenue of around $54 billion. So that represents around 50% of the revenue that Russia made from selling oil products. So this is a significant contributor to the Russian economy. Now, as you'll be aware if you follow the channel, there have been major issues with regards to the supply of that gas. We saw the Nord Stream pipelines being bombed. They exploded at some point during the summer period. And so all of the gas that was previously being supplied to Germany through those pipelines has now stopped. And a number of other countries had their supplies switched off by Russia for refusing to pay in rubles. So the supply of gas to Europe has reduced significantly, and Gazprom has now announced that sales to its key markets have fallen by 46%, and the total volume of gas supplied is down by more than 20% in 2022. So those figures at face value look concerning from Russia's perspective, but actually the situation is much worse than that, because during 2022, a lot of countries such as Germany and Italy continued to buy large volumes of gas because they needed it to keep the lights switched on. But a lot of European countries now have alternative supply arrangements in place. So going forward into 2023, it's likely that Europe will buy significantly less gas than they have during 2022. Now you may be thinking, well, that's fine because Russia can just sell it to India and China and do exactly the same as they've done with oil. But it isn't quite as simple as that with gas, because in order to transport gas over long distances, you need to convert it into liquefied form, put it onto ships, and then ship it in the same way as you do with oil. But the problem that Russia has is that it hasn't been building the infrastructure in order to convert the gas to LNG. This chart shows the countries that have the largest current LNG export capacity. And you can see that the country that has the largest capacity with around 88 million metric tons per year is Australia, followed by Qatar with 77 million, the USA 74 million, Malaysia 32 million, Algeria 29 million, and Russia comes in at number 6 on the list with just under 29 million metric tons. And that LNG capacity in Russia equates to less than 10% of the total gas volumes that it was supplying through its pipelines. So going forward into 2023, Russia is going to see a dramatic fall in its revenues from natural gas supplies as a direct result of its invasion of Ukraine. Now, one of the other major impacts facing Russia going forward into 2023 is the technology sanctions that have been applied against it as a direct result of the war. The global economy is becoming more and more dependent on technology. As well as all of the major developments in digital technology, e-commerce and software, microchips are now being installed in virtually every product that you can think about. Everything is becoming smart. You can do things with your products that you were never able to imagine in the past. And one of Russia's major challenges is that it is not at the forefront of global technology. High-tech research, design and technology is a very specialist area. So there are places of expertise in areas such as Silicon Valley, South Korea, Tokyo, Cambridge, lots and lots, but none of them are in Russia. Now, this is actually something that President Putin has been aware of for a long period of time. Following Russia's invasion of Crimea back in 2014, a variety of sanctions were applied against Russia, predominantly focused on defense industry, so trying to stop the use of technology in the development of weapons. And at that time, President Putin announced that Russia was investing heavily into technology in order to become more self-sufficient and less dependent on the West. However, developing your own in-house technology is not easy because research builds upon research, so it's very difficult to start from scratch. And this chart shows the origin country of Russia's imported microchips for the period between 2017 and 2021. And the size of the imports in 2021 is shown in the blue section on the right-hand side of all of these bar charts. So what this shows is that the largest single supplier of microchips was Germany, followed by China, Japan, the USA and Hong Kong. Now, in terms of sanctions, Germany, the USA and Japan have all applied technology sanctions against Russia. So Russia will no longer be able to access any of those microchips. But the position is actually worse than that because some of the microchips that are produced in China are produced under license from companies that are based in the USA and Europe. And those chips will also be sanctioned. So Russia is likely to see a huge fall in the availability of these microchips. And these chips are absolutely critical to so many different products, services and industries, including the oil and gas industries, which Russia are highly dependent upon. Now, one of my favourite sayings on this channel is that the whole world is interconnected. I must have said it a million times on all of the videos that I've made. And it's absolutely true because the reason that we are interconnected is we've got areas of expertise all across the globe. And that's the most efficient way of doing things in a joined up economy. If somebody has a low labour economy, then it makes sense for that country to produce things that are labour intensive. If other countries have an abundance of certain natural resources, then it makes sense for that country to produce those natural resources and become a specialist area. So that's what's been happening over the course of the last 50 years. We've got areas of expertise and development all across the globe. And the benefit we have is that everybody can then exchange all their goods and services and do things the most efficient way. But the problem that you have when you have sanctions is that that system breaks down. And so you're no longer able to access things that you wanted to buy at the lowest possible price. And that, of course, then pushes prices up and reduces efficiency all across the globe. And that's what's happening for Russia right now. As a direct result of Russia's invasion of Ukraine, a variety of companies from all across the globe came out and stated that they no longer wanted to do any business in Russia or with Russian companies. So the initial wave of announcements came from all of the big oil and gas companies such as BP, Shell and ExxonMobil, who'd been developing joint ventures with Russia over the course of the last 30 years. And the reason that those joint ventures were important was because a lot of the areas where the oil and gas is based are in really difficult climates. So they're very, very cold and there are a lot of challenges in terms of getting that oil out and keeping the flows coming through efficiently. And you need people who know what they're doing, who've done that before. So Russia benefited from all of that expertise through their joint ventures. But as all of these companies have now pulled out of Russia, there are going to be major challenges for Russia in terms of keeping all of those efficiencies going, keeping all of that technology up to date, because they don't have the expertise. But it's not just in oil and gas. These business relationships apply to every single part of the economy. So we've got companies such as major car manufacturers, which is a truly global industry. Parts and equipment are produced all across the world and then moved around before the final vehicles are assembled. And all of those companies have pulled out of Russia, and Russia is now struggling not just to source microchips to go into those vehicles, but actual parts and equipment to be able to assemble the vehicles themselves. But in addition to vehicle manufacturing, there are a whole host of other industries such as computers, electronics, food, retail, clothing, furniture manufacturer. Every industry that you can think of had companies that either had joint ventures in Russia, overseas subsidiaries in the country, or just had sourcing arrangements whereby they were supplying the country with their goods. And all of those arrangements have stopped overnight. And that's put Russia in a very difficult situation. Firstly, in terms of developing its own economy, growing its own businesses, it's lost all of those trading relationships and that expertise. So that's going to put them back decades. Secondly, they're no longer able to source all of the parts and equipment that they needed to complete all of the build of all of their own businesses. And thirdly, they can no longer import finished goods. So items such as an Apple iPhone are very difficult to source now in Russia. So this will have a massive impact on the economy, both from an organic growth perspective, but also just from a general GDP point of view. Now, the final issue that I wanted to touch on today is the brain drain. And this really relates to all of the people in Russia who no longer want to live there and have decided to leave the country. Now, initially following the announcement of the invasion, it was reported that up to 500,000 people had fled the country as a result of what was going on. Now, 500,000 is obviously a significant number, but the significance is actually much greater because the people who decided to leave are higher educated, higher skilled, and tend to be in the upper quartile of earnings. So these are your most valuable people. The most mobile tend to be the best people. So going forward, what this means is that Russia has lost a lot of its skilled workforce and its senior management. And that will cause problems because those people are not easy to replace. But the situation is actually much worse than that, because during the summer period, President Putin announced a mobilization. There was a need for another 300,000 men to continue the fight in Ukraine. And as a direct result of that announcement, it was reported that around 700,000 people fled the country. And once again, these 700,000 were the most valuable, skilled and educated people within the workforce. So in total, over the course of 2022, around 1.2 million people have left Russia permanently. And that equates to around 1.6% of the total workforce of around 75 million people. And this exodus is obviously coming at a time when Russia is facing a variety of sanctions, it's having to find new markets to sell into, and it's needing to develop its own technology to try to keep up. So this is a double whammy from Russia's perspective. It's lost its people at the time when it needs them most. So what's the summary and conclusion today? Well, I wanted to post this video because we're at the start of a new year and I thought it was worth looking at what's happened with Russia over the course of the last 12 months. Is it in a worse position today than it was 12 months ago? Well, in order to answer that question, let's recap on everything we've just discussed. In terms of oil, which is the biggest single contributor to the Russian economy, Russia has lost a huge number of markets that it's been selling into for the last 30 years or so. And a lot of those markets were located very close geographically to Russia. In fact, some of them were being supplied directly by pipelines. So that was the most efficient way of selling its oil. If you can keep your transport distance to a minimum, then obviously you will maximize your profits. But all of those markets have now disappeared, and Russia is having to go much further afield to find replacement markets. So India has stepped up as the biggest single buyer so far. But the problem that Russia has is that in order to secure all of those volume deals with India, it needed to offer large discounts. So overall, there has been a drop in revenue from Russia's perspective. And going forward into 2023, those discounts are being maintained because Russia is now facing an oil price cap. So the oil price cap of $60 was introduced by the EU, the G7 and Australia on December the 5th, and that's now applying globally. Now, Russia has come out and said that it won't supply any country that signs up to the oil price cap. But as we saw from the chart earlier, the actual price that Russia is selling at is $55 right now. So that's actually $5 below the $60 oil cap. So either way, whichever way you look at it, whether it's the oil price cap being applied or Russia selling at a discount through its own means, it's seen a massive fall in oil revenues because the price of Russian oil has fallen significantly. And in addition to those problems with oil, Russia is also facing a major problem with gas exports. In 2021, Russia earned $54 billion from the sale of gas products, but the vast majority of that was supplied via pipelines directly into Europe. Now, those pipelines are now redundant for most countries, so Russia's lost all of those sales, and in order to switch to other markets, it needs to convert that gas into LNG, and it simply doesn't have the capacity in place right now to be able to do that. And it's also lost all of its business partners at the same time. So in the past, if Russia needed to create lots of LNG capacity, it would have turned to companies like BP, Shell, ExxonMobil, and developed those facilities because they cost tens of billions of dollars to build. But Russia doesn't have those relationships anymore, so it can't rely upon its partners. And it simply doesn't have the capital in order to build those facilities. So over the next 2 to 3 years, Russia will simply not be able to replace any of those lost gas sales because it can't increase its LNG capacity. So in order to get itself out of this situation, Russia needs to think on its feet, to be nimble, and create new ways of doing things. It needs new technology, it needs new people, it needs new business partners. And it's lost all of those things simultaneously. So it's got sanctions applied against it with regards to technology. It's seen 1.2 million people leave the country permanently. And at the same time, it's lost all of its trading relationships and its knowledge and research development that it was relying upon over the course of the last 20 years, because most countries from the West have exited Russia entirely. So the overall summary here is that Russia's two largest contributors, oil and gas, have been severely damaged by the sanctions that have been applied against Russia over the course of the last 12 months. And at the same time as that's happened, it's lost people, it's lost technology, and it's lost its business and trading relationships. So the overall position here is that Russia is in a much worse position today than it was this time 12 months ago, before it started the invasion of Ukraine. So hopefully you found today's video useful, informative, and thought-provoking. If you've liked what I've said, then please give me a thumbs up. And thank you so much for watching this video all the way through to the end.